book that we're going to study is the book of Revelation, and we are in chapter 16 tonight. These are the chapters from now on that really are in discussion theologically, but I deal with them as I written and follow the counsel of God's word in the way is expressed. You are getting an outline so that you can follow with me, but actually I go verse by verse, and so you will do it. That's the only way I know I cannot miss anything. And I used to have a big blue, I don't know if you saw it, Bible, and the King James Bible. I have one big one like this. The only big one I have is the New King James. I like to have the King James myself. If somebody saw it with all my notes and things, and it's gone. And I maybe left it here, or maybe left it, who knows? I'm old, and I maybe forgot the Bible someplace. And I hope somebody had it, will enjoy it. But it has all my secret notes on it. But what I like, the letters are big like that, and I can see it from here very well. And I'm more familiar to the King James words than to the others, but that's all right. We go through. All right, Revelation chapter 16. I hope everybody gets a copy. And I want to say to you that we have in the foregoing chapter, chapter 15, the great and solemn preparation that was made for the pouring out of the vials or the anger of God, the wrath of God. And now we have from chapter 16 all the way to the end, the performance of God judging the unbeliever world that until now is enjoying a great ride, and they think that there is no God. Now, the chapter, they say in chapter 16, verse 1, then I heard a loud voice from the temple, and I did the details, and I'm going to do an overall picture of the chapter and then the details, saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the vials of the wrath of God on the earth. In other words, the projection of God's wrath. God's wrath is these, and then God said, I'm going to overwhelm the world with my wrath, and I'm going to do it. Now, I go in an overall picture first, and verse 2 is upon the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. Now, the second is upon the sea, verse 3, and the second angel poured out his bowl, vials, on the sea. All right, this is, remember the plagues on Egypt? This is similar to that kind of thing. Number 3, upon the rivers and fountains of water. Look in verse 4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of fountains of waters, and they became blood. Then number 5 was poured upon the sun, verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. See, only God can touch the sun, all right? He's above the sun. Only God can do it. Then the sixth is on the river Euphrates. Excuse me, I jump one. The fifth is on the seat of the bees. It is amazing how these become entangled into the government. And I deal with that in a detail. I like to show you that the seven is on the river Euphrates, and on the air also, and on the cities and nations, and really finish the entire accomplishment here of the whole earth, preparing for the day of judgment. Now I go in detail, all right? Verses 1 to 7, we have the detail. Look at verse 1 carefully. Nothing was to be put in execution. This is very important, without an immediate positive order from God. Verse 1, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and put out the bowls or the vials. No angel in heaven, no authority in the heavens can do anything until God says so. That's very important. The word temple is where God is. In Revelation 22, the Bible talks about the waters coming out of the temple of God. That's where God resides in heaven. Now, verse 2, no sooner was the word of command given than it was immediately obeyed. No delay, no objection. Look at verse 2. Saul, because God spoke, Saul, the first went and put out his ball upon the earth. There is no time sequence here, no event to follow. When God said, now I'm going to execute the coming of Jesus, and first judging these world so they know that they are wrong, there will be no talk, no mercy, no delay, no grace on it. The unbelievers will receive this abruptly upon them, okay? Verse 2 also, the fall of the anti-Christian interest shall be universal. Look at this. So the first went and poured out his vow upon the earth, and a fall and a loathsome sore came upon the men of mankind, the word is anthropos, who have the mark of the beast and those who were worship his image. This was upon the unbelievers, not the believers. It was absolutely done in the whole anti-Christian world who has an interest in this world and is anti-Christian will be under these. In chapter verse 3, the fall of the anti-Christian interest is not limited. Look at verse 3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of the dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. In other words, there is no limit to mankind, but it's also to the nature that God created, so that wake up mankind and say, what's going on? God is against us. That's the idea. All right, verse 4 to 7, the reason for the deployment of God's wrath is vengeance. Look at verse 4 to 7. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Verse 7. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. No, you see, this is the way the angels treat God. God Almighty. God, what a respect, don't we, when they talk to God. Somebody said, well, God is my body. I have reservation to treat God in prayer in that way, that God is my body. God is all righteous, all almighty, all powerful, and we should pray with respect and honor to him. Yes, he's your daddy, and my daddy, Abba Father, remember? He is, but listen, I don't dare to have common language with God. I always use word language of respect to God. And that's the way the angel did it. So here we have, at verses 1 to 7, we have these remarkable detail. Then there is a break, another paragraph in the original, and it's verses 8 to 11. And in these verses, we see the work going on in the appointed order. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. Mankind, when you hear the news and you turn ABC and say, oh boy, the whole rivers are turning to blood, and then the sun has been affected. You think the ABC and CBS and all these news will say, man, let's look to God. No, so look at verse 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his bowl or his vials on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Now look at verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not what? Repent and give him glory. I think what God, the angel, did to the sun in order for us to get heat what needs to happen? Well, you know, there is distance between the sun and every planet. And if God outset either the sun or outset the planets, then we get heat. Just 1 minute, you measure the distance by minutes. 1 minute closer to the sun, you and I cannot receive. Mrs. Otero will be okay, but you and I will not, all right, because she likes the heat. But, you know, 90 is nothing for my wife, 100 is nothing. Somebody's reacting that way. And imagine the man will be really affected by this. But verse 9 tells us, look at the end of verse 9, and they did not repent and give him glory. Now, that's how hard is going to be the heart of man in the future. Now, we see it today. There is no repentance in our Congress. There is no repentance in governors. There is no repentance in the president and vice president. There is nobody announcing the problem of America is not economic. The problem is we have left God. Nobody has said that. See? And so I can see what happened here. God can cause what we call in Latin a cataclysm. In other words, destruction of the normal rules, laws of the earth, and man is still ignoring God like nothing really happened. All right? So it is very, very important. Verses 10 to 11, the whole kingdom of the beasts was full of darkness and distress. And darkness is opposed to wisdom. 1 second, I know why I have darkened here my pulpit. I need the light that goes into my Bible. It wasn't right here. Okay, verse 10 and 11, I read it for you. Then the fifth angel put out his bowls on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnashed their tongue because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sore and did not repent of their deeds. In other words, God put a little more pressure. Would mankind repent? No. See, they have crossed the line, what I call, they have crossed the line of no return. And God is no longer in business of salvation. He is in business of bringing Christ to the earth. All right? He says, now, the next section that the chapter divide is sections 12 to 16. And the sixth angel poured out his vial. And observe what happened in verse 12. What did this vial produce? Verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his vial on the great river Euphrates. And its water was dry up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, the drying of the river, which furnished the city with wealth, provisions, and sort of accommodations. In other words, thank God for rivers, don't we? If we have no rivers, you have no waters. And it's so, so important. And God will put the pressure on that. Verse 13, the instruments he makes use of to engage the powers of the earth in his cause are quarrel. Look at verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are the three enemies of the latest moment. And this is what I wrote. Three unclean spirits like frogs come forth. One out of the mouth of the dragon, another out of the mouth of the beast, and the third out of the mouth of the false prophet. Hell, the secular power of Antichrist, and the ecclesiastical power will combine to send their several instruments furnished with hellish malice, with worldly policy, and with religious falsehood and deceit, and these will master up devil's forces for the decisive battle. In other words, God is really confronting the devil. We have no idea how the devil handled people. And we remember, let me show you something, because here in Ephesians 6, look with me. It is unbelievable. So finally, Ephesians 6:10. So to get an idea that we think, oh, this is way future. This is going on. This is coming in. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11 in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How much the devil is pressing you and me. For we do not wrestle, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of his age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. My brother and my sister, we are innocent sometimes. Oh, how much power is against you and me? The devil tried to destroy families, tried to destroy the peace of your home, the peace of your life, so that he can get you. But now God knows all of this. He's coming back to the devil and to the sources who are the three here. These spirits are coming to attack the devil and God is confronting the persons and people we don't see, the world that you and I do not see. God is in charge of cleaning the whole thing up. Now, verse 14 to 16, the means these instruments will use to engage the power of the earth with the word. Look at here. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Is that clear? Now, I went to visit Family Radio where I used to work for 32 years. And the boss called me. Somebody told him, the chief is here. The former chief is here. So he came. He told my wife, I hear it outside. Is the chief in his office. That's the way they used to call me, the chief, because I was the executor of everything the radio did, even paying. And he said, yeah, he said, chief, come in. I have to have you in my office. Mr. Campion is 89 years old. So we sit in the office, and he stood up, and he said, you are the devil, he told me. I said, well, I wish I was, because I'm not the devil. I'm a human being. The devil is not a human being, ladies and gentlemen. The devil is one of the angels, all right? That's what the scripture said. So he was furious because I do not believe on May 21 when the Lord is coming, he said. Well, I was in the radio when the Lord was coming September 6, 1994, and he didn't. So he was really furious. And it's a matter of interpretation. I know his desire is good. I know his heart is good. But it's a matter of interpretation. And here, the Bible said in verse 15, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Do you know when somebody's going to break your door? No. Do you have that experience in your life? I only have it once. They tried to break my doors at 3 o'clock in the morning. I hear somebody working on the front door. So I pick up the phone and call the police station. I say, I think it's somebody trying to pick up my door. And I'm at this moment getting my gun out of the the night table. So what should I do? He said, well, we don't have a police. Let the person in. We don't have a police here. No, I said, where should I put the body? Oh, boy, the police. 2 minutes. The police was at my house. And the guy ran away. See, I'm a psychologist, remember? That just, it worked with people's mind. But this is what it is. I come here as a thief. In other words, you and I will never have a date when the Lord is coming. It's clear. It's clear. All right? And look at what he says. Blessed is he who figured out the date. No, what they said. Who? Watch it. See, we need to live, and I agree with this, we need to live as the Lord is coming today. That's the way we need to do it. he said, and keep his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gather them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now, at this moment, I don't know if it's a real place where we're going. There is a real place, Armageddon, but I don't know if it's a place where the battle will occur or it's in a spiritual content. We will find out later. But this is what it is. It's going to be a real. I said here in my paper that they will work pretended miracles. They all strengthen of him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivingness. I'm working on the back page of you. Mine is two pages. So, in other words, there is unrighteousness in this. And I want you to see a reference in the Bible in 2 Thessalonians, please, because 2 Thessalonians talks about the coming of the Lord. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, all right, verses 9 and verse 10. Here it is. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, there is a remarkable work that is going to be done, and I give you all the information over there where the location is of the mountain and things and so on. And it's possible that that could be a literal situation, but I tell you, God is saying to us, I'm preparing to take care of your enemy, the devil. And I'm preparing to do this, whether it's a physical battle or not, that I care less. What it is God's going to finish with the devil and is going to really take over the devil. Thank God. Thank God that he's doing that. Thank God. All right, now verses 17 to 21 is the clue here. Verse 17 here, then the seventh angel put out his bowls into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. What did Jesus say at the cross? It is finished. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is no other way of salvation, all right? It is finished. It's Christ. Now, when the world is going to end, it's going to end. It is done. So here we have an account of the seventh and last angel pouring forth his vial, contributing his part toward the accomplishment of the downfall of Babylon, which was the finishing stroke. Now, Babylon never in the Bible is a picture of the church. Babylon is a picture of Iraq, which is a picture of Nebuchadnezzar, which is a picture of unbelieving. See, you cannot cross symbols in the Bible. You cannot do that, okay? Now, verse 18, look at what happened in verse 18. And there were noises and thundering and lightning. There was a great earthquake, such as mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now, yes, there is an earthquake coming in. Mighty, said the scripture. So, where this plague fell on the air, upon the prince of the power of the air. Remember, why this plague is on the air? Because, let me show you, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter, I think is, let me see, it's 2, chapter 2. If I get to this Bible, Ephesians, here it is. I want to start reading from verse 1, I find it. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Remember, this plague is upon the earth. See, we're lightning. Why God put a plague like this? In the meantime, you have Ephesians 2. I read again at verse 18 in Revelation chapter 16. And there were noises and thundering and lightning, and there was a great earthquake. In other words, God is affecting the atmosphere. Now, look at here. And you, I'm reading Ephesians 2:1. He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So God now is attacking Satan eye to eye in their territory. God goes after Satan all over, okay? Now verses going back to Revelation, verses 19 to 20, the fall of Babylon, which was divided into three parts. Let me read it for you. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away. Island are nations, and the mountains were not found. In other words, God is really outpouring his judgment and putting everything he had, and you can read that in your home, the things that I put in the paper. God is really is going to do a complete work. Verse 21, how the anti-Christian party were affected with, look at, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blaspheme God, keep on, because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. So now the things are turning really hot. In our next study, we're going to see an advancing of this. So I have some conclusions for you on this chapter. I said, what that mean to me? Okay? And here it is. Number one, the great calamities that can befall men will not bring them to repentance without the grace of God working with them. That's number one point that I learned. I learned practical lessons from these theological mind revelations. Number one, nothing can bring people to Christ except the grace of God. All right? Some people, one aunt, they have their beloved aunt. I remember I grew up with a big family. My father were 17 brothers and sisters. We have an army of cousins, okay? 60 of them all together. All right. My aunt used to say, I cannot believe what your mother believed because I never saw anybody coming out of the dead. That's in the Bible. Remember that somebody said, oh, Lord, and Luke 16, oh, Lord, please send somebody from heaven to tell my brothers. And God said, no, they have Moses and the law. In other words, they have the word. If they don't believe the word, they're never going to believe somebody coming from heaven. And so the first thing I learned from Revelation 16 is that nobody is going to become a believer because of a great story or a great encounter unless the grace of God, God turn on the switch in their heart. There is no way that you and I can become believers. The reason you are here tonight is because God graciously has done this for you. You should be grateful to God. I should be grateful to God that we can really know him. All right? Number two, those that are not made better by the judgment of God are always the worst of them. In other words, the judgment of God never makes the unbelievers better. Makes them mad. Number three, to be hardened in sin and enmity against God by his righteous judgment is a certain token of what? Complete destruction. So we need to be more prayerful for unbelievers because it's still the age of grace. Is that right? It's still people can be saved. And so in view of what God is going to do, Salvador asked me a great question. As I deal with Salvador's souls and the anger of his heart, and I'm learning about jails and things and so on as I share with him. I said, you tell me the thing I don't know, and I tell you the things I know from the Lord. And as we share our life together, see, when people are in anger, they're looking for a day of vengeance. He said, as soon as I put my feet in this way, I do that. And I said, why? He said, well, this person I remember, and I have dealt with people like that, so that doesn't panic me. It's a joy to listen and to guide them. And he said, you know, this person 3 years ago did this. As soon as I put my feet, I get even. Oh, let's see how God say how to do it. So I go to the book of Romans. I said, you and I, oh, yeah, yeah, you can do that. Let me see. God has a way to do it. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. So we stopped. We were driving. We stopped on one side. I enjoy this. I said, look at here, Romans said. He said, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible for you, as depend on you, live peacefully with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, that's a way God wanted to do it. Wow, he said. It's nice to hear those words. I was wrong, Pastor. It's nice to hear those words from somebody who is clean, open-hearted. Now, when this happened, there is no more chance for the unbelievers. But it's not you and I doing. Who is it? God doing. So concerning to you and I, we only show love, compassion, and let God do the judgment. So may your heart be challenged to pray for America. My heart is not the same America that I came in. And I understand God is planning to do this, but I don't know when. But I know that God is doing this as a thief. He's going to, one day he's going to be surprised and it's all done and God's going to do this. So in the meantime that we have time to preach and to enjoy the sun and to enjoy every day and the moon and the night and so on, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. And let's share our gospel of the joy of the Lord with people, having patience with people, because they need a lot of patience from us. Because they are not seeing the Lord. That's why they're rejected. They're not seeing the Lord. And the only way to see the Lord is through your love and your compassion and your dealing, whether it is a family member, whether it's a neighbor or somebody. Let's do that. It's exhausting. The other day I went home and told my wife, the only thing I want to do is just lay down in bed. I'm exhausted of dealing with some issues. But you know, what a joy when the next morning you get the news that things are improving, that things are better. I was in cloud 999 when Salvador texted me from the work and said, tomorrow I start the prayer meeting in an unbelieving company. I said, God, even if I go and ask permission to do it, I cannot do it. See, God uses everyone. It is time of the opportunity, but there will be a time. And I agree, there will be no more opportunity. The unbelievers will not repent, and they will be judged. Well, it's up to God, not up to me. Meantime, let's get busy. Thank you, Lord. Here we have a tiny little church. They broadcast over 360 million people. They broadcast over the whole peninsula of Korea. That we broadcast over England, and people are listening. God, help us to be men and women of God who share the love and the truth of God with people. And may the judgment be upon your decision and your time. Thank you, Lord, that the unbelievers who make our life uneasy, if they do not repent, and this time they will never repent again. Thank you that you will judge them according to your justice and no ours. Thank you, Lord, that you do not call us to judge them, but you are the judge. Thank you, Father. So help us to look for that day. And help us to remember that you come as a thief. No one on this earth ever will know that day except you. But we want to say with John, Lord, come soon. In Jesus we pray, amen. Amen.